It's 18 hours, 30 minutes East African time, time for John Sibi Okumu on Wednesday. This being Wednesday, the 1st of June, 2022. Hamjambo na karibuni, hello and welcome. Today is Madaraka Day. Madaraka is a word in Kiswahili synonymous with others like uwezo, mamlaka, and jukumu, which can be translated into English to mean power or authority. June the 1st is observed as a national holiday in Kenya and commemorates the day in 1963 that Kenya attained internal self-rule or self-governance, having been a British colony since 1920. After a preparatory period of 6 months, full independence was to follow on December the 12th, 1963. People of my generation will remember being reminded continually of wale waliomwaga damu ili tuwe huru, that is, those who shed their blood so that we might be free. On this day, 59 years later, and 69 days before the forthcoming general elections, we have a good enough opportunity to reflect upon and to take stock of the pluses and minuses of doing our own thing. Are we getting better and better, or worse and worse at self-rule? Knowing that he is Kikuyu, and out of the respect I was taught to give my elders, I'm going to address him before he reveals himself later as Guka, the Gikuyu word for granddad. Wemwega Guka.
Nekwa hamuno.
Guka, what is your memory of the first Madaraka Day on June the 1st, 1963?
I remember very well what happened on Madaraka Day, the first Madaraka Day, because I was there even during the time of preparation for the Madaraka. During that time, we had a committee to prepare for the independence. I can remember very well when leaders of KANU went to Muthaiga with the Land Rover. It was driven by a police officer or police driver, led the people walking from Muthaiga to Harambe Avenue. By then, it was called Coronation Avenue. That was where Madaraka Day was held on that day, when we had the first prime minister who had been there before as the chief minister of the government of Kenya.
And what was his name? That's Muzee.
His name was Muzee Jomo Kenyatta. And during the time of his speech, is the day that he introduced one Harambe. Thereafter, the Madaraka Day, the Harambe became a motto for the KANU, the motto for the government. And at the same time, the coronation avenue was changed to become Harambe Avenue, which also extended to Harambe House during that time when the Muzee became the prime minister, and then thereafter he became the president of the Republic of Kenya.
That was a year later. Now, could you, Goka, can you try to paint an image of what was it like? Where was it? Today we had a speech given by the president, Uhuru Kenyatta. What was it like 59 years ago? Who was there?
Well, those who are Madaraka Day, if they were all together at Madaraka Day today, they would have seen the change, because we have a different statement made by the president of Republic of Kenya today, Uhuru Muigai Kenyatta, and his father, who by the time he was the prime minister of government of Kenya, when it became the Madaraka Day on the 1st June 1963.
And the crowd, was it just Africans? Was it mixed? what the crowd. Can you describe the crowd?
The crowd was not as big as it is today because the population was not as much bigger than it is today. And therefore, with those who attended the Madaraka Day were those who were invited by the committee that was organizing the Madaraka Day.
Aguka, you seem to be the kind of person who can take us further back. If you were one of the organizers of Madaraka Day in 1963, you must have been big enough and adult enough to have memories of the colonial period. Would you like to take us back before we go forward?
Back to the colonial days, I can remember very well the colonizers had made the laws that were oppressing the Africans, particularly Kalamba, racial discrimination, segregation, and I remember very well there were shops which were Europeans or whites only, African dogs not allowed. Even Asians who were earning or learning the business could not buy anything from those shops. There were cinemas, churches, schools, and other places like roads, and also the area that was segregated for whites like Kilimani, Kirereshwa, Mzaiga, Karen, and Rangata, and etc. And I can also remember the Asian were now allocated to Parklands and Ngara and Pangani, when African were allocated to Kariakoo and Majengo and Shaur Moyo.
So I'm fascinated by these allusions. Mau Mau, dare we mention Mau Mau detention? Did you live through that in a way that's worth remembering?
When I was a member of the Kenya African Union, member of Transport and Allied Workers Union, a secretary of the Kikuyu General Union, I also joined the Mau Mau when I took the oath. And after taking the oath, I was in Mombasa, Pastor Paul. I was elected by the Mau Mau, Kikuyu Embu Namiru, who are living in Mombasa, to become their chairman. So I was the chairman of the Coast Province. I took time now to organize other members of the Mau Mau work out the program of taking all the Kikuyu Embu Namiru in Coast Province to take the oath. Whether one was a church, whether one was not in church, whether one was Muslim and Kikuyu Embu Namiru had to take the Mau Mau oath, including the women. First of all, the oath that was taken by Kikuyu Embu Namiru was not the kind of a Kikuyu oath which were taken during the time of demarcation of land or demarcation or the time of argument in the case of infringement of the customary law. We did was that Mau Mau was the freedom fighters. They were struggling for independence, and therefore women were not left out because they were to participate in, and they participated very well, particularly becoming the spies, the supply of the food to Mau Mau leaders, particularly those who are in the forest, and in town and in other rural areas. They were also playing the role of collecting guns, collecting ammunition, medicines, clothing, and other information they could get from either informers. Because colonial informers, who are Embu and Kikuyu and Embu, were also taken oath. Even the police, some police took the oath, and therefore they were working for the colonialists, and they were paying by the colonialists, and they were working for the Mau Mau.
Well, an intriguing question from me is, at that point in your own mind, Gorka, were you prepared to kill another human being? How did that sit with your spiritual beliefs?
No, the problem of that question was that those who were fought for against the Mau Mau were ready to kill them.
Right.
Because they were also ready to kill Mau Mau.
Okay.
First of all, let me say that I was detained for 5 years, and I went through almost 10 or for 10 years. I went to Matapuas River, Mackinnon Road.
Okay, detention. What happened in detention? Did you stay all day without eating, or what was it like?
Not only for staying without food and eating and so forth, and, but we also, in some cases, in a week or 2 weeks' time, we were have to be beaten by the colonialists. Even some areas that we are forced to work hard labor in a road, in dams, in building the other houses in a camp, and we were forced to remain in the camp. Sometimes I was one of the writing letters to colonialists and governors and other authority, the colonial authority, and after the finding that letter from hand of the colonialists, the commandant would come and put us into small cells without food for 80 days.
Gurkha, I mean, I'm sorry to put this to you, but you're the person to ask this question. We're celebrating, commemorating Madaraka Day today as a unified Kenya, and we have 47 ethnic groups. But there's also this question of, did other ethnic groups, did other peoples also take part in the struggle for independence, or was it the preserve only of the Kikuyu people?
Not only the Kikuyu, because we have, during the time of detention, we have people arrested from the leadership of the Kenya African Union, particularly from Nyanza, Western, Kalenjin area, and Maasai, and the Kamba, and then we have people even from Kisii who are detained with us. And finally, they were selected from all the detention camps and were put at Nyakach, where Nyakach's Garo Secular School is today, is where they were detained before they were released to go to the freedom.
Isn't that a time for us to take a short break before we continue? Gurkha, I'm going to put some more names into your mind because you were there. The Kapenguria Six. What would you say about them?
Well, Kapenguria Six were arrested on the day Imajisu was declared on 20th October 1952.
This is Bildad Kaggia.
That's all. The Musa Jomo Kenyatta, Kung Karumba, Paul Longay, Asheng Oneko, Bildad Kaggia, and Fred Kupai.
Right. So there they were. They were detained in the north of Kenya.
They were detained in northern Kenya after they were taken to court at right. Kapenguria School, where Thaka, who was the retired judge, was employed by colonialists to take the case to judge them.
Who of those Kapenguria Six, because they're creatures of national mythology, whom of the Kapenguria Six did you know best personally?
I know Kapenguria Six. I know Kaggia because I had worked with Kaggia for long. After he came from army, he became a preacher in Muranga, and after retiring from preaching, he came back to Nairobi and employed by the Commercial Bank. And then when he was a clerk, and I was also a clerk in Nairobi, Makan Singh had told us one day at the Desai Memorial Hall.
Sorry, Gurkha, I have to take you back because you're forgetting our audience. Who was Makan Singh?
Oh, Makan Singh was a nation who, a Sikh, who yes. was frontiered to organize the trade union. He came from India.
Right.
And he refused to be employed by even his father in their publishing house. So Makan Singh became a leader of the trade union, assisted by Fred Kupai. When Kaggia and I, other clerks, were called by Makan Singh to organize a clerks union, We formed the Clerks and Commercial Workers Union, which Kaggia became the chairman, and later became the secretary, and finally he became the chairman of East African Trade Union Congress.
So what is the thread for you? Last we heard of you, you were in a detention camp. How did you make this switch from being in mainstream trade unionism?
Well, before I was arrested, first of all, let me make it quite clear here. I was arrested on October 4th, October 1953. And I was taken to Kongaroo Court at the CID headquarters at a place which is now occupied by the Serena Hotel. And I was sentenced to death by shooting at Mokituanga in Davia.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
At Karen.
Right.
So, after detention...
But obviously, you weren't shot dead. So, your sentence was commuted, you were let off, or you ran away?
No,
or
what happened...
Yeah.
When, during the time of interrogation, the four people had already been shot before me. And I knew one person who was before me. They took them to shooting. And before they came back to me, there was a big war between Mau Mau and the security at Duncan Eskin's house at Kirishwa. So I heard the radio saying, over, all police officers who are in the station and outside the station should leave that what they are doing and go to Kirishwa Police Duncan's house.
Exactly, so that yes. As reinforcement, so that they can deal with that situation.
And that war was waged because of a lady who had been sent by Mau Mau to get the gun from a drinking officer of the army.
Ah, so you had a narrow escape.
So now that escape... Came yes. as what you call the God's will.
Right. Well, we'll have to wait for your memoirs. There's a big book here. But so you're now into trade unionism, and you must come across names like Thomas Joseph Mboya, because that again he features as a trade unionist. So what are your recollections of him?
Tom Mboya came late in 1953 when he was the secretary of the local government workers union. And later, because all the trade union who are leaders like Fred Kubai Kaggia, Mungai, people like Kichure Katama, and others including the people who were also assisting branches like Chokwe, Said Muhammad were now arrested and detained. So Boya had that chance of now becoming one of the leaders of the trade union because he was now alone and was supported by Western world, the British and the American.
Okay, so which other name? I must go and Pio Gamma Pinto. Because now we're into the era of assassinations. I think he was one of the first, and there are others. Does that name mean anything to you, Gamma Pinto?
Well, Gamma Pinto was working with me during the time of trade union, because he was also in trade union, assisting the political parties.
Yes.
And I remember very well, I knew him from Desai Memorial Library when we met there, and he was introduced to me, and I was introduced to him by Makan Singh. Later, I joined him with Joseph Murumbi to work together on assisting Mau Mau. But Pinto, also during the time of the Mau Mau, because I was working with the head of Mau Mau, we were five of us who were drafting letters, sent memorandum to overseas. Then Pinto was one of the people who assisted very well to prepare those memorandum because he knew many people, in particular in Asia and Europe. So he helped not only the trade union, but also Mau Mau. We were five, Mwenga Chokwe, Pinto, Katlanju, who was the secretary of Mau Mau, I myself, and late Dr. Mudiora.
Gorka, now that we're looking at, we've taken Madaraka Day as a symbol of our history and recollection. We've come to a dark period of assassinations. Pio Gama Pinto was assassinated. Tom Mboya was assassinated. Robert Ouko was assassinated. Bishop Alexander Muge, question mark. What is your historical memory of these assassinations and perhaps explanation as to why they took place?
I do remember very well about the assassination of Pinto in 1965. When Murumbi, who was now the Vice President of the Republic of Kenya, heard about the death of Pinto, he now became aware that he was also going to die. And he requested the President Kenyatta to give him leave so that he can become an ordinary people, not leading the government. And he resigned from the government and from the party.
So in terms of governance, Guka, what were these people unhappy with? What was the promise of Uhuru and independence that had been betrayed? Because people complain about something. What do you think they were complaining about?
The people just complain about the particular cost of living,
yes,
the inflation, the torture by the police, and the, again, when they got to arrested by the police and taken to court, when they go to the court, the judges or magistrates do not care about their evidence to give to the court. And sometimes you find that the cases of the arrested person is framed by investigators because they have a different language that would make the case to fail from the ruling. Because now there are the people who normally given the responsibility of investigating and writing the report. Now, when they took to the prosecutor is just a mayor reading what is written by the investigators. So now the judges and the magistrates, because of failure of following the rules and the regulations and the law, sometimes because they are bribed, and they now able to now to make the case of arresting people should be going to jail, and normally they go to jail. That's why people normally complain about the police.
So there were miscarriages of justice. I'd like in the next 5 minutes before we take another break for you to reflect upon the Constitution, because our discussions have been about the Constitution and it's gone through many changes. There was the Independence Constitution and it went all the way to becoming one, Kenya became a one-party state. We had voting, queue voting by Mulolongo. Now, without necessarily naming names and condemning people for what they did at the time, do you think that the movement is forward in terms of respecting our constitution in the last 59 years?
Well, I was one of those who rejected the Majimbo constitution, which came from the colonial office when our members of Lady Corps went to negotiate for the constitution. Thereafter,
But Majimbo was a kind of devolution. 50 years later, we've come back to Majimbo.
Okay.
So was it a good thing which you rejected at the time?
It was not a good thing because it was the constitution was now framed.
Right.
That Majimbo will be based on the provinces.
Yes.
And at the same time, the Lady Corps would be multiracial. And therefore, we did not like it to be because we knew the Europeans will be majority in a province.
So at that particular time, you didn't have, we didn't have the full powers. Okay, so what's happened since then in terms of the constitution? Would you like to comment on
the
passage of time?
Yeah. I would like to comment on Majimbo because it was now changed when we had the independent constitution.
Yes.
Which now had many loopholes because it came to be a one-party state constitution.
Yes.
And the president there by then, he was now to dictate what to be done and what not to be done. Thereafter, we had the changes because of the people normally complain about the administration of the constitution and about the government. We had now the revolutionary change of the constitution because we had to have the Wajiko constitution that we have today.
Okay, so this is an improvement all round. What do you think were some of the positives? We've been talking about assassinations. What do you think have been some of the major positives of Waafrika? Tumefaidikaje kama utawala wa Afrika? Tueleze kwa Kiswahili.
Tunafaidika kwa sababu, mimi naweza kusema kwamba tunafaidika kidogo kwa sababu wakati wa ukoloni hatukuwa tumejitawala, hatukuwa na sauti ya kusema chochote. Ijapokuwa sasa wakati wa uhuru wetu, kutangu tupate na independence, tumekuwa na matatizo mengine mengi. Ya kwanza ningependa kusema ya kwamba sisi wenyewe badala kujenga uchumi tunabomoa uchumi, kwa sababu watu kama wajua kali wakati wanafanya mahali ya viwanda vipanda, wakati huo utakuta mtu tajiri anakuja anasema yeye hiyo vipanda vimejengwa katika title deed yake, na anakuwa na title deed ambayo imekuwa ni fake, ambayo ilikuwa tu si ya kweli, kwa sababu amechukua baada ya hata baada ya watu hao kwa miaka 20 pale. Na wakati huo akitoa hongo, polisi wanakuja ina wanamboa siri ya nini kanzo ya kama municipal kanzo particularly out the council now. They go to that place and destroy all the banda. Wakati huo sasa ule uchumi ungepatikana kwa wale ambao wanalipa kodi kwa serikali, sasa kodi hawalipi, hawawezi kusomesha watoto wao, hawawezi kujimudu katika mambo ya maisha, hata wakati wakiwa wagonjwa hawawezi hata kununua dawa.
Another spot for us to stop, Guka. Onwards. Gorka,
yeah.
At this stage of the game, we are going to play you what people, wananchi, whom we found in the street, in their offices, wherever, how they responded to this question. Are we getting better at self-governance?
During those old days, the issue of governance wasn't all that elaborate. We were incapacitated, but currently we have all the human capital.
We also have women empowerment. We are able to make decisions on our own.
We can say we have come from very far and we've done very well.
Almost everybody has a phone, so communication has become easier. It has helped the economy. Transacting money even to people who are very far.
There is a lot of impunity.
The people mandated to fight corruption. It seems they are not doing enough because people are still in public money and they are still in their offices.
Can you imagine a country with people sleeping hungry? We have resources in our country. It's not because they are being misused. You only need someone who is strict. In fact, not even being strict, God-fearing.
From independence, we have recorded impressive economic growth.
The economy is so bad. Maybe my grandchildren are the ones who are going to improve this.
Even to get a foot on the table, sometimes it will be very hard. And maybe if there was a better way of governing the country, Kenyans will be comfortable.
We are exercising our own democratic power in elections. We also have our constitution 2010.
We are able to have governance that is always improving.
During independence, I think there were two parties, KANU and KAD. But now you can say what you want.
This CBC thing that is trying to nurture talents for our children, that one I give a plus to the government, the infrastructure, it's nowhere comparable to the time of our independence.
Gorka, you had already begun to give some views, some criticism, but this is the question. Maybe you might give your answer in Kiswahili. Je, tangu tupate uhuru, tumejitawala vyema?
Mimi kwanza ningetaka kushukuru wale waliosunguza hayo katika radio. Na mimi kama ningekuwa mmoja wao, ningesema hivyo hivyo walivyosema, kwa sababu tangu tupate tuchukue uhuru, kuna mambo mengi ambayo yalikuwa hayafai, lakini wakati ule tulikuwa na katiba yetu, tumepata madaraka, tumepata independence, na wakati huo huo pia tumejenga uchumi kwa njia ambayo ni ya kufaa. Ijapokuwa kuna mapengo pale na pale, ambayo wakati mwingine kwa sababu ya watu wengine kujipenda na kuchukua nafasi kwa wakati wa kipawa serikali, wanachukua pesa za serikali wanajifanya ni zao. Hayo ni tunasema ni uhongo na mambo ya tunasema corruption pia. Kwa hivyo ningependa ni kusema ya kwamba yale ambayo tumetenda kwa sababu uhuru wetu ambao tunalinda, na wakati wa ulinzi wa uhuru wetu pia tunakuwa na sauti ya kuzungumza mambo kufuatana na katiba yetu na sheria zile tunaweka katika bunge.
Ngoka, in all these replies, there are these words. Again, I'm interested from somebody of your generation. These words, let's start off with tribalism. Let's start off with ukabila. Is this something, were you in your life, have you always had an ukabila bone? And if you haven't, what's special about you? And is it something that we're going to get rid of in the next 50 years?
Before the white man came to Kenya and also to Africa, Africans did not have the tribal barriers.
No, that's true. They fought against each other to take each other's cows and each other's women.
I'm saying,
yes.
Particularly when they had butter trade,
yes,
they did not have what we have today. So when we did not have tribal feeling by other tribes, I know even those days, people would fight the others, and we would have like Kikuyu Maasai, and getting cows and getting women, taking them to Okamani, Okamba would get women, and therefore we did not have the tribal that we have today, which was now created by the colonialists because of dividing us when they demarcated.
Goka, if I might beg to differ, was our mistake that the colonialists tried to join us into one nation and make us all one under the Kenyan flag? Because in those happy, happy days when we were bartering, we were separate nations, separate peoples. So the mistake was ours in daring to become Kenya. Would you not agree with that?
I would not agree with you because, first of all, I remember very well about the history I read from the books. The district commissioner of Narok, of Kajiado, who was now stationed in Ngong, would organize the Maasai to spy the Kikuyu in the Kikuyu area. Then the district commissioner Kiambu would spy the Maasai who were coming from Ngong'u, and would tell the Kikuyu Maasai are coming, and the Maasai would be told that the Kikuyu are coming. So we would fight through that.
Right.
What I mean here is that colonialism is the part of the destroying our relationship. When we were together, particularly when they banned our tradition, customs, songs, and what we were dancing could not be recognized by the colonists.
But Goka, if I may, mm-hmm. in the midst of that, we were given a religion to which I dare say you belong. So you're a Christian. But you see nothing wrong in declaring yourself a Christian. Isn't that intellectually dishonest of you?
I am a Christian, but that Christian came by force because the white man came with a gun
right.
on the right hand and the Bible on the left.
Right.
Then he forced the people to join the Christianity.
So you became a Christian by force and remain a Christian by force?
No, not now. I'm talking about the coming.
So what happened in between time in terms of your beliefs, in terms of your values?
My
ile namna ya kuishi kila siku mara kwa mara na wenzako.
Mimi naweza kusema kwamba wakati wetu sasa, generation zetu na wanababa zetu, huo ulikuwa ni wakati tofauti, kwa sababu wakati wa babu zetu, wakati mzungu alipokuja aliwaambia kwamba lazima waache mambo ya Kiafrika, wachukue mambo ya kizungu. Na mambo ya kizungu waliingiza katika Christianity au wengine waliwahi kupitia kwa mambo kama Kiislamu, waingize katika dini ili watu waweze kupoa kutopiga kelele ambao walikuwa napiga kelele juu ya mzungu, kwa kiteka mambo kama shamba, akichukua mambo kama mali za wapirika, ng'ombe, mbuzi, na chinjia ile karavani yake. Kwa hivyo Waafrika ndio walikuwa na umoja, kwa sababu wao hawakupigana kwa sababu vile walipigana kama wakati wa koloni wakiongozwa na mzungu. Na kwa hivyo sisi wenyewe, ijapokuwa tulikuwa tunapendana, tuliletewa mambo ya siasa. Sasa mambo ya siasa ndio iliharibu kila kitu.
Nishakubali, but Guka, would you say in a conversation, intergenerational conversation such as ours, that nothing good came of colonialism, when at the same time all the people who have succeeded with what you would call a home guard mentality are people who are closest to Western values and culture? They are our role models. So what trip do we have to make as people to cleanse ourselves in a spiritual fashion? And or perhaps you have no idea. Maybe that's an unfair question.
I would say I have no idea to rehabilitate them.
Right.
But they had been rehabilitated by the environment. Because I remember when home guards were fighting Mau Mau, after independence, I was one of those who organized the political party, bringing people together, and the home guards were fearing the bringing people together. And then again, we were Mau Mau. We were fighting the colonial Christian, because they were all pastors, of particularly Anglican, Catholic, and PCA, were all resigning from the church, and they came to detention camps to beat us. And in the evening, they would go to rural area, kill people, and come back in the morning to rehabilitate us. And therefore, when I talk of the rehabilitation of home guards and Comerera, Tai Tai, and also loyalists, when we came to independence, now because they were the one who was given the responsibility by even our leaders, declined to give the Mau Mau in a place where they could join the government. Even in the cabinet of the first government, even the cabinet today, there had never been a Mau Mau leader in the cabinet. And therefore, we were decided that we always go with the government of the day, but we shall never fight that government. And therefore, people who are royalists are the one who was now given Mandaraka, like PCs and auto disease and so forth. Including the cabinet, you find the children or daughters and what we call the sons of the royalists, but chiefs and sons and daughters are the one who now rule us.
Guka, I would like to go to the other word in the next 5 minutes that we have, corruption. Ufisadi, is this part of being Kenyan? We're all corrupt.
Corruption is a disease, and it will never be solved by the people who are now ruling today. And it will take time for the corruption to come to an end, or the bribe that people normally call it chai. When we talk of the corruption, we talk of the bribery and so forth, we talk of the people, particularly the Raya people, the citizens, are the one who create the problem, because they are the one who give. It is better to receive than to give, because when you give, you destroy the spirit of that person. Therefore, if we could stop giving, the corruption will come to an end. But it's not 50 years to come. Even tribalism will not end, because we are now encouraging political parties, having the individual person having calling his party a leader. We will not to be elected, but to dictate the who to be the chairman, who to be the treasurer, who to be everywhere.
Like in Guka, you know, something also in our psyche tulikuwa tunapenda yule mtu ambao anaitwa chief, the big chief syndrome. Kuna yule mwizi wetu. In order for me, for my people to accept me as a leader, I need to give them huge amounts of money at political rallies. So where am I to get this money from? If I run on a platform of ideas and campaign strategies or whatever it is in the future for the nation, people don't want to hear. We want our Bwana Mkubwa to be rich.
That Bwana Mkubwa to be rich is the money of the government. Is the money?
No, it's the idea of the people. Wao ukienda kwenye Kikuyuni watasema mzee gukata tupatia nini? Iko kitu. So I'm going to prepare myself by having kitu to give.
Ndio nasema hawa watu ambao wanatoa kitu.
The fault is with the people, I'm trying to say, not with the leaders.
Hawa watu wanatoa kitu. Wanatoa kitu kwa sababu wale watu ambao wanawachagua au wanawapenda wanawataka watoe kitu kwa sababu kwanza wao ni watu ambao hawana kitu kwa sababu ni maskini. Lakini wanafikiria kwamba mtu ambaye yule wanaona kwao anaweza kuwapa kitu ni sawa sawa. Lakini yule mtu naye pia pesa zile aliko nazo ni zile zile walitoa kodi wakapeana kwa serikali, na huyo mtu akaandikwa na serikali akaiba kwa serikali, au pengine ni mfanyabiashara akapewa contract akafanya hapa na pale kidogo kidogo na akapata pesa kutoka kwa hata bado hajafanya kazi yote toka, kama barabara kwa mfano, anasema amejenga barabara lakini hajajenga, na anapewa pesa kutoka kwa serikali, na zile pesa ni zile zao. Sasa wanafikiri kwa sababu wanaweza kumunyonya wadio wanamdai pesa kidogo, kama wangejua kwamba hizi pesa ni za serikali zile walitoa, hawangemuuliza kutoa chai au kitu kidogo.
Thank you, Guka. A stop before the end. The best mix of music. Capital FM. Guka.
Yes.
This is our last 15 minutes together. Far too short, too much to discuss. And I'm going to ask you at this stage, who are you? What is your name?
My name is Wilson Maina Macharia. I was born in Muranga in 1928.
Which makes you now 94. 94. Gosh, yes. My maths is poor. 94.
Yeah, 94.
Right. Well, I would say that if he were still alive, as a small detail, you would be about the age of my father, who was born in September 1929. So it's a great pleasure to be talking to you, because it's a bit like talking to one's dad. So, Dad, Gorkha to others, I'd like to ask you to tell me a bit more about growing up and this idea of values and your childhood, your mom, your dad. What were they telling you? What were they instilling in you that remains with you to this day?
I after birth and I was brought in the house, what was round, the Kikuyu tradition.
Yes.
It was not the mud house, but it was only the people bringing the what we call the Roswago in Kikuyu. So Roswago iron, that also thirsty, not the iron sheet, and it had no doors. It was only given the one main entrance.
Right. Well, we've all heard those songs of Kamaru, Joseph Kamaru, when they say, "What was the Kikuyu homestead?" And of course, Jomo Kenyatta wrote about those traditions in his book Facing Mount Kenya.
Yeah.
Yes. So you're from that period.
I was brought up in that how kind of house.
Yes.
I remember very well my mother told me one day that if I see something lost by either a man or a woman, I should bring that lost people to her so that she could get the owner.
Yes, therefore you went to steal.
No. not to steal.
Exactly. What? Yeah?
Anything that I would find.
Anything that you would find.
What somebody has got lost.
Right.
I would collect it.
Yes.
And give it to my mother.
Yes.
Who would find the owner.
Exactly.
That made me to be trusted person.
Yes.
And I grew with the principles that I was given by mother.
Right.
That stealing is bad.
Right.
Cheating is bad.
Right.
Speaking the truth.
Yes.
And I had four principles in what we call in English. Honesty, trustworthy, truthful, and faithful to my Lord.
And what about your father? Was he a person who was giving you kiboko every other day? Was it corporal punishment part of the man that you are today, or is he chatting to you nicely and
normally, in Kikuyu customary law, parents were to give punishment to any child who would do wrong. I cannot deny I have been several times beaten by my father, beaten my mother, but not the way the teachers now beat their children in the school.
Okay.
Not the way now our parents of today beat the children to death. Now, what happened to my life is that my father was a shop worker. He, by those time of colonialism, were called shop boys.
Yes.
So they were grown people. And I had always working in a domestic work as a kitchen boy. So my father was called a boy. I was called also a boy. My uncle, who was so also there, called
two boys in the family immediately.
even Kuka would be there, would be called the boy.
Okay.
So my father sometimes was giving me the kind of behavior of the Kikuyu tradition, of particularly first child born, so that I could become a father and mother of my children when they are not, mother and father are not in the household. I was now responsibility,
right.
My responsibility to give them the what we call the service.
Were you the eldest child in the family? Were you the firstborn?
I'm the firstborn.
Right. So you had that sense of responsibility.
Yeah.
I want to jump to this idea again of historical memory. You've evoked so many things in our conversation in the last 45 minutes. Where is this history to be read by our young listeners? Have you written your story down? Is there a book?
I have not written the book.
Why not?
Let me tell you. I have now been able to prepare what we call the material for my autobiography.
Yes.
And I have now started recording. Sometimes I have recorded some kind of introduction of my life. Up to the time I stopped working.
Yes.
And then I recorded about my education program and how I grew up in Kikuyu land, herding boys and working and so forth, and fishing and also swimming, being taught by my uncle. And therefore, I'm still feeling that I would write one day. I know I will get the editor. But the problem with me is that I don't have the computer, I don't have the camera, I don't have the recorder, and therefore it is very difficult for me to write on hand, because I thought if I could have a recorder, I would definitely speak with the recorders, and somebody would do it for me.
You are now a grandfather in your own right. Do you feel that your grandchildren have a sense of the Kenyan history which you've evoked?
Well,
do they know anything? If I said to them, Kapenguria 6, will they say, yes, I know about them?
I don't know what they would do about Kapenguria. Because our generation, let me tell you, our generation today, our young people, even I'm telling you with practical experience. Sometimes I go to our people from the village when we call the meeting. When I try to give them the history of the Mau Mau, history of the trade union, history of political party, and how Europeans came to this country, they say, that was generation. We don't need history today, because we have the TV, we have the computer, we can now Google whatever we want.
Well, I had a discussion with a young person who said that maybe we should forget the past, because mm-hmm. all the mistakes that were made of ufisadi, ukabila, they belong to your generation, mm-hmm. my generation, and the young people want to start afresh. So they're not interested in the mistakes that we've made.
Because they don't understand the benefit they could get from the history of those mistakes, which they could correct from their time of discussion and conversation and administration in any political party or any organization.
Can I draw you on the idea of the politics of the moment? Again, let's try not to name names, but do you think, Guka, Wilson, Maina, Masharia, that the build-up to the elections is an improvement on the past? Are these going to be our best elections ever?
Well, we assume that this election would be better than all other elections we have had before. But we are not sure, because sometimes you would think that there is no war between the parties would come during the time of election. Because every time during the election is when we have differences. Because so-and-so would complain, so-and-so would abuse the others. And finally, you'll find that election is on the course of differences. What I would say here is that what we would like to see is a peaceful election that would be bring up the better administration than it had been there before.
Peaceful, better, but in the past we've come from Wulolongo, we've come to the political violence of 2007, we've had contested elections because of just the idea of counting the votes. Do you feel, when you read the newspapers, I know you keep abreast of things, that we will be better prepared? There's one thing to desire something, and there's another thing to be prepared for improvement.
I think there will be improvement, particularly the Election Commission. And at the same time, the only problem I have seen is here is that we have too many political parties, and the two political parties are now going to destroy the moral that people would have when they have contesting the seat by the particular...
I'll cut you short, Guka, because you're drawing this notion of democracy. Mm. Let people decide whom they want. So this is something, again, which we've inherited as a desirable political dispensation. Do you think... again, an unfair question. Do you think that democracy is for Kenyans, democracy is for Africans, or should we go back to the chief and his assistant chiefs and the Bwana Mkubwa? One Bwana Mkubwa to lead us forever, 50, 40 years.
Even though you tell me about the democracy, the people of Kenya, particularly those who are in politics, they have gone beyond the constitution, they have gone beyond the democracy. Because you don't have to have hundreds and hundreds of political parties, because not all the political parties would be run by the Wajiku. It is run by a particular individual. If you look today, then you get what people talk about, my party, I will do because of my party. We cannot now go to the old time of the old chief and PCs and DCs, but we better retain the chief in a location, because he is a person who is going to be the eyes of the people. I remember in the old days during the colonial time, the person who was called Kanga, Askari Kanga, he was the one who normally knew all the villages in the village in or sub location. He knew whether a child had been born, whether somebody has sold like a goat, whether had sold the skin, or whether they have any harvest, and he would report it to the chief and to the DC and to the PC and the governor will know, and he will report it back to colonial office that Kenya is now ready to remain peaceful. Now that we cannot go because we have now political parties. We have leaders who normally lead because they have money.
Gurkha, I'm going to give you 1 minute and a bit. Final words of wisdom to me as your son, to your grandchildren, as your grandchildren, to us as Kenyans. What advice would you give us to make the best of all possible nations on Madaraka Day?
Well, the possible, let's talk of the Madaraka Day, the coming Madaraka Day of 2023. That if we have a good leader who would have a good cabinet, then we would have a people who normally working for the government, not working for themselves, then we will be able to have the Madaraka Day that will focus of seeing the people will be beneficial to them. Take a case now today. The aged people are given 2,000 shillings. 2,000 shillings, particularly during this inflation of time, the cost of living, if you go with to the supermarket with 2,000, what kind of goods would you buy? And an aged people like myself, who have no land, who has no house, who has nowhere to live, and I'm a widower, who have never covered by any law in Kenya. We have the law for orphans and widows, but we don't have law for widowers. So we the government today would kindly discuss this matter in parliament and make that law, because not all the widowers are rich. And therefore, Madaraka Day of that year coming would be better if people would work together and peaceful time.
Gurkha, no, I give you. Thank we have you. To leave it there.
Okay.
Do continue to give us feedback, hopefully positive and reassuring, on the Twitter handle at Capital FM Kenya, or drop us a text on or a WhatsApp message on 0701 984 984. You've been listening to John Sibi Okumu on Wednesday. Happy Madaraka Day. Until next time.